Blog Talk Radio.
We ain't nothing but some true joy G's. We ain't nothing but some G's. Yeah.
G's on the podcast.
Said it's different, seven, swinging three, swinging three.
Yo, yo, yo. Man, what's going on? Outsiders Boxing Podcast coming to you live on this 2nd of September. Coming up on some of the best times of the year when it comes to sports fans, for me specifically and all the other people out there who enjoy watching football. Had college football come back yesterday. Had an array of highlights put out there from House of Highlights on Instagram and things like that, where you see some of the most wild plays happen as sports continue to evolve and see a bunch of whole crazy things going on. But also got stuff going on in the boxing world, obviously. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. But speaking of not being here, I know that they have a show for the midweek. That's usually on Wednesdays, 7 o'clock Pacific time, 9 p.m. Central time, where Willa hosts from the middle of America in Houston, Texas. And got pushed to Thursday. And, you know, there's this farmer's market thing that goes on downtown Thursdays. And I think it's until the end of October, something like that. So basically, the whole city's out like that and stuff over where I'm at in Hanford, California, 559, Nick and Nina. So I was out there, had a couple glasses of wine out there because I'm done drinking beer. Announcement that I made on my social media handle at RC show, or RC underscore show on Snapchat, where pretty much everything goes on. I will not be drinking beer for the rest of my life. I had one a couple of days ago, and it was really, really gross, which is the first time I ever thought that. So, been having me some wine lately. And, yeah, it's been getting me a little twisted. So, you know, I know I was supposed to be on – I seen Willa text me saying that he's trying to get it going, so I figured, oh, well, he must not have this thing going on, because I know sometimes Blog Talk Radio messes with us during the week, especially at the time that we do the midweek show. Sometimes there's some technical difficulties that go on or whatever. No, been having a lot more drinks as of recent, and the first step in healing yourself is admitting when something's wrong. And I'm here today to admit that I have a problem, because I want to progress myself and get better. So my problem that I would like to announce today is oh man, we've been having a fun time going on these last few days. Took up the style of females that Willa likes to tag me on the gram with. And boy, we're riding some waves, man. Big booty bitches is the problem that happened recently for the last few days, and it's been a roller coaster of a ride. But I'm glad to say that I'm here today, and we'll be back regularly scheduled as we do on Wednesdays. But I'm just having a really good time today. Another long night, but that doesn't matter. Long night, early mornings, that's how we do it around here. So I'm extra hyped today, because not only is it a glorious Sunday and we got football back, but for me, We got UM playing today at 4:30, taking over Dallas, Texas today against LSU, which I'm looking real forward to. Putting a feather in the cap of the U, in which would be from the likes of an SEC conference team being LSU. It's always nice when you can take out the big boys over there because they play real football in the SEC. The way I describe football in the SEC, opposed to, let's say, a conference like the Big Ten, let's say there's a punt situation for both conferences. In the Big Ten, the punter's going to punt the ball, the receiver's going to make a fair catch, he's going to give the ball to the referee, they're going to shake hands, they're going to go to the sideline in their respective corners, the band's going to play some whack-ass music, the commentators are going to sound like they can make you fall asleep during a street fight, and it's just boring football. It's boring football. That's not the kind of football I like to see. Now, when you talk about those, ain't no fair catches. You're going to catch the ball. You're going to make a man miss, make some moves, or you're going to get your ass lit up. There's going to be some shit talking afterwards. Referees might get involved and stick somebody. If you remember not so long ago, well, it actually was a little long ago. There was a quarterback from South Carolina that I know his last name was Garcia. I can't remember the first off the top of my head, but he was scrambling and they were in the red zone. Looked like he tried to get to the end zone for a touchdown. And for some reason, SEC official just stiffed him with a shoulder right to the chest. Like he was in the way, but you could tell his muscle memory and natural instincts went back to when he used to play football, in which he was a captain for one of the teams in the SEC. I can't remember exactly who it was, but you know, just like that, SEC football is a little bit different than a lot of other conferences of football, but fortunately for us in the ACC, we got squad too. We had Clemson, who took out Alabama recently and all that good stuff in the national championship. But we got squad. Just look it up, who's coming out the ACC. But anyways, enough of all that. I'm just hyped about football today. So let's take it to my man, Will Al, Houston, Texas. We see how things are going over on his side, as I cleanse myself, admitting what my problem has been as of recent, and also just expressing the hype that's going on for Sunday, because I know last year, talking about Miami for the 8-0 start that we had, when we were trailblazing the college football world with the famous turnover chain that just took over the college football world as of last year. Well, look. What's going down with you, my man? How are you today? Because I'm hyped.
Man, hey, I know you're hyped, but you're probably going to be drinking a whole bunch of wine. Good thing you're off tomorrow because it's going to be a long night for you. Boy's probably going to catch that L to a sorry team, a sorry LSU team.
Really?
Just showing you that. Yeah, LSU is probably pretty trash, but they're big boy football. And as we saw last year, I think y'all were 8-0 until y'all played like a big somebody that was good, right? I can't remember. Who was it? Was it like who did they lose to last year?
Well, let me correct you, first of all. It's not losing because we met some big boys and all that. We lost because we lost Mark Walton for the rest of the year, which was our number one offensive threat. A guy who had 211 yards on 4 carries, which I've never seen in football before. Pretty good guy who got drafted to the Cincinnati Bengals. So, yeah, the wheels started falling off when we lost our best player. But I believe Miami's first loss last year went to Pittsburgh. It wasn't even a really good team. We lost to Pitt on the road in the morning. So, yeah, that was one of them bad trap games where the offense just couldn't get it going after we lost our best player, man. And then, you know, we met some other teams that it just we never got back up off the ground.
Yeah.
Injuries, brother.
Yeah. That's the thing about being a big with the big dogs, because – Alabama showed you, your second string guy should be just as good as your first string guy. That's what happens in the SEC. You know, when the big dogs usually, you know, and the big, you know, there's schools here and there that do it, but, you know, when one guy goes down, especially, I think that was your running back, especially that running back, those come a dime a dozen.
Yep.
So, but yeah, man, like you said, ain't nothing much, ain't too much going down this week. It's a lot of build up, a lot of shit talking for fights coming in the future. You know, our boy, you know, one of Outsiders Boxing Podcast favorites, one of our guys, had a fight on Facebook this week. So, you know,
Who's that?
I think that was the only thing, huh?
Who's our guy that fought on Facebook? I don't know. Our guy who fought on Facebook.
Yeah. Our guy put in a good whoop the grown man this weekend, giving him that counter boxing lesson. You didn't see that?
Our guy. Oh.
Your
I've
guy.
Seen,
really?
I don't like Ryan Garcia. I seen him get stunned in the seventh round.
The real Garcia.
That's right.
The real Garcia. You know, you've got Mikey Garcia, you've got Danny Garcia, then you've got the real Garcia, Ryan. That's what his name should be. Ryan the real Garcia. Putting in that work. Beating the grown man this weekend, dog. That's just going to let you know he's going to be legit, dog. Hey, man, there's a few of these young guys out here beating grown-ass men up. It's pretty embarrassing. They're going to be Shakur, Garcia. Got some good boxing coming up. What's the other young guy's name? Is Hanley Young? Devin Hanley? I don't know if he's
Devin Hanley. I mean, I don't know how young he is, but I know for sure Ryan Garcia definitely is young, and Oscar De La Hoya's got a lot of stock put into the kid. And I'm not a big fan of the guy, but I was a fan of his press conference or post-fight conference, I should say. Not conference, but post-fight interview where he kind of – well, let's just get to it. Let's just get to it. Because Ryan Garcia had a fight on Facebook, as Willa mentioned, with Carlos Morales. Which was one of the most, I don't know what you want to call it, but it was the most garbage of a promotional deal they had on ESPN, where they have a face-off and Ryan Garcia barely puts his hands on him as he pushes him. And it was just so fake. Golden Boy is such a piece of shit boxing promotional company with Oscar De La Hoya. It's so garbage. When I seen this, it was like, why the fuck? If you're going to at least have it staged, and you're going to at least do it WWE style, and you're going to at least have these guys know that someone's going to push them and you want to try to sell it, at least get shirt off or something. Push them really hard. Do something. But don't just barely touch the man like you're pushing him, like what you want to do when it's just like – it was almost as bad as porn stars that try to act with some sort of a cosplay or some sort of a scenery. I don't have any money to pay for this pizza. How am I supposed to reward you for this? Like, how am I supposed to pay you back? It was on that level of trash when it comes to the face-off that they had at ESPN. I couldn't get enough of it. But nonetheless, Ryan Garcia looked good for the first six rounds of the fight until the seventh round when he actually caught a left straight where he tried to give that counter. It might have been a right. It was a straight, nonetheless, that caught him right on the nose as he tried to get that counter hook in, but he was just late. And you know what? It was a left because when Carlos Morales threw that left straight, he picked his right hand up to guard that left counter that Garcia threw late, and it was perfect. Garcia got wobbled for a second, and I think a lot more people had the fight closer than what it was originally scored, which was 8-2 for Ryan Garcia. And as I mentioned, I'm a fan a little bit of the way Ryan Garcia said that he thought the fight was a lot closer than that. Usually you don't hear a fighter that won the fight on such a lopsided decision victory saying that they think the fight was a lot closer than that. Oscar De La Hoya was probably pissed off that he said that. And I think if we could have some sort of fighters that, you know, had some lopsided victories, like, say, let's say Canelo Alvarez in his first fight with Gennady Golovkin, when the first scorecard that was read was 118 to 112 for Canelo. Like, who's seen that? That's garbage. And if he was to mention something like that at the end, like, oh, I think the fight was a lot closer than that or whatever. Maybe we could have some sort of a trend change in the crookedness of boxing. But we know Oscar De La Hoya always got somebody in that bag. These judges are, they're not really hard to buy off. You could always find one. And I think, you know, watching it on and off yesterday, it looked like Ryan Garcia was taking care of early work. And then, you know, it started to get a little bit in the deep water. Not too much, but it got at least competitive. And, you know, I think that he, I think that it could have been, I think he gave the other fellow three rounds maybe. But Ryan Garcia definitely looked good regardless of the shot he took that got him stunned. The only thing that I look at that is the cause for concern is if he wants to fight a guy like Gervonta Davis. And as they asked him afterwards, here's the bad part about his post-fight interview. Are you ready for Gervonta Davis? And he completely avoided the question. He said, I'm young. I'm looking to get back in the ring, and I'm looking to get better, and time's on my side, and I'm just looking forward to my next fight. After all that nonsense, he was talking about Gervonta Davis earlier on Instagram and things like that. Yeah, I'm pretty sure after he got that left hand straight from a guy like Carlos Morales that got him stunned, he don't want no smoke with Gervonta Davis. Ryan Garcia is a flash in the pan, Justin Bieber of boxing. Could he get better? Sure, he can get better. He's got some natural talent when it comes to hand speed, a little bit of pop to him, size, popularity. He could definitely do some things, and especially if he gets better, he could be a big name in the sport. You know, I know a lot of females I follow on Instagram when it comes to, you know, fitness models and things like that down in Los Angeles base, Nikki Zhao, I can't just name them all off top right now. But I noticed that when I see Ryan Garcia's posts, I'll see one or two or three of them liking his stuff. So I know he has the hoes following, and he definitely could be a commodity. Oscar De La Hoya knows that. So I'm not a fan of the guy, per se. I don't know why Willa calls him our guy. You know, he's definitely someone to look for in what's going on in the future of boxing. But other than that, I'm not so sure how much people actually – that's one thing I didn't look for, which I should have did, was to see the numbers on how many people was actually watching live on Facebook, because the numbers – I mean, this is something that we talked about earlier with De La Hoya having four fights that are going to be on Facebook. And this is one of them that he put out because he obviously wants to put out his biggest names he has. There was speculation that they would put Canelo Triple G on Facebook to make a big splash. But we'll talk a little bit about later why that will not be the case. But nonetheless, I want to see. I would like to check on to see how much. I'll probably look on that as Willa breaks down his part of the fight to see how many people were actually watching on Facebook Live, because as we know from the Logan Paul KSI deal that happened for YouTube, there's definitely different ways of getting people to put viewership onto your boxing event other than the old traditional Showtime or HBO. But Willa, on this Ryan Garcia, your guy, on his performance last night. And I don't know if you've seen what I was talking about the face-off where he puts his hands on Carlos Morales for that push, too. I mean, what a joke. Go ahead, Willie. Your thoughts on this.
Well, I thought our guy did all right. I think as a young man in
your
here,
guy.
He fought a guy that had like two losses, I think. So this guy was all right. You know, he wasn't the worst of the worst. He was 17-2, and he was a grown man. And at 20 years old, you know, even though he is a man, he isn't a grown man yet. And like, so he got a little humbled yesterday, even though he still whooped that guy last night. What was his name? Morales, I think his last name. He still gave him that work, but it got a little
Carlos
close.
Morales.
He got caught. You know, he felt some grown man power. He didn't like it that
yep.
much, but he didn't go down, and he continued to work, and it got a little closer at the end, you know. And I think he figured that out. And that's why I think he was humbled a little bit last night, man, which I think might be a good thing. And that's why when they said something about Javonte Davis, he really wasn't speaking the same. Also, that I'm sure Oscar was in his ear with the whole, you know, they were supposed to spar.
Oh, yeah.
It never did happen. You know, I'm sure Oscar was in his ear about that. And when he felt that, he's like, you know, I might need a little more time. So we might even see him take a step back, you know, at 20 years old. Like he said, he's got a lot of time to go. He needs to just, you know, maybe slow down a little bit and get a little stronger. Because, you know, he's fighting grown men in here. He gets hit a lot. He needs to work on his D now. That even from the last fight where he beat up that guy, he was getting hit. He gets hit a lot. And when you're not a full grown man, getting hit by men a lot isn't really that good. You know, some can do it, but you know. So he looked good. He didn't look bad. He didn't look that good last night. I give him probably a C plus.
Just to throw this in real quick, not to break you up or cut you off or anything, but so you could also top on it too. His viewership that was on Facebook Live yesterday was at 2,194,000 views. So, 2 million. That's
2 million views,
number, man.
So, and so that I might give him a C minus. He had that many people watching, and that's what he did. He didn't really, you know, yeah, that was a lot of people. But that just lets you know, I think, who was it? Somebody, I don't know, they were talking about social media and all that doesn't matter. That was, yeah, King Mo, when we had him on, how he's saying social media doesn't matter, nobody cares. You know, they might not care about it, but it really matters. And the guys that do care about it, as we see, you know, he's doing 2 million views, those KSI and that, Lee and Paul or Logan Paul, whatever his name is, they're doing like 150 million or something crazy like that, you know. So, hey, much love to our guy, the real Garcia, Ryan Garcia. He's got work to do. He knows it. We know it. But he's got time. Like you said, time is on his side. So, just 20 years old. In 3 years, he'll be 23. And that's when I think he really needs to be pushing. I think he's got a long way to go.
Yeah, he definitely does. And he does get hit too much, as you mentioned. And I like the way you put that he got humbled a little bit with some of that grown man power that he probably hasn't felt ever in his life before when that straight came down the pipe. Because, you know, where that straight hit him, you know, that could definitely offset you. It could be alarming. To catch it right down the pipe, right in the nose like he did, because as we've seen in the Vasyl Lomachenko-Jorge Linares fight, it was a similar straight that had him go down for the first time in his career. Just depends on which part of the pipe it comes down and where it lands. But he definitely looked up at the lights for a second and had some spaghetti legs, and that's always something to be cautious about when you see how a fighter reacts to being in a little bit of danger. But, you know, he got to the mid-level of the pool and then got right back out. He was never in deep water for too long. So, but 2,194,000 of a viewership on Facebook Live. He definitely has a fan base. And he's not one of the traditional Mexican fighters in the sense of that he is more of a Mexican than an American, because he's the opposite of that. And when you're the opposite of that, you kind of lose a little bit of extra following from the Mexican fan base who primarily speaks Spanish, who won't rock with you as much as if you're a guy who, you know, says Yumbo Yak instead of Jumbo Jack. No racist, hashtag no racist, just saying and being honest. And you motherfuckers out there know what I'm talking about, so don't act like this is some bullshit I'm making up. But simple fact of the matter is he has that kind of a following where, you know, like Oscar De La Hoya said in his career, the hardcore Mexican fan base was not a fan of Oscar De La Hoya because they looked at him like an American. And I think that Ryan Garcia has a similar viewership when or viewing from the outside perspective that he is more American than Mexican, because I could be wrong, but I've never seen him speak Spanish in his life. And I know he's had a I can't remember the gentleman's name, but the translator for ESPN, which they did the face off for. I know he's on ESPN Deportes, and I'm just not so sure if they ever had Ryan Garcia on any kind of a lingo of the Mexican language and trend into that fan base, which, you know, has a big portion of pay-per-view buys when it comes to, like, Canelo fights and things of that nature, when the Mexicans fight Floyd Mayweather, like Marquez, or all that. So he's doing fine with the American base more than the Mexican base right now. But, you know, we'll see how his career turns out, because he definitely gets hit too much. But he relies on that speed more than anything. And as we've seen yesterday when he got in danger, he relied on his physical attributes of being a quick counterpuncher that just didn't work. You could be, you know, the Flash, but when you're talking about being in the sixth round of a fight, you know, your speed's not going to be as fast as it was when you first got in on the ring. So, but nonetheless, kudos to him. I'll give him a C on his performance, because he was in there with a not much of a dangerous threat, but a live opponent at the end of the day. He wasn't a dead dog in the water like some of the opponents Ryan Garcia has been facing on ESPN. So levels comps going up. And as we've seen, he got taken into the mid-level of the water yesterday for a quick second. So he's going to have to work on that a little bit. But moving along, the episodic 24/7 series started, I believe, Wednesday. I think it was Wednesday when it came off. But might have been Tuesday, one of the two. I just know because I was paying attention to the Hard Knocks that comes on HBO also, Tuesdays at 10 p.m. involving the Cleveland Browns. And they were kind of promoting a little quick promotional deal before they actually had it come on. And it got me interested a little bit in this fight, because I'm not to poo-poo on the fight. I've been trying not to poo-poo on this fight for years now, because the whole build-up to making this fight happen, then when it actually happened, and then when we had the result, and then when we had the rematch, and then when we had it being canceled because of clenbuterol, and then here we are today. I wouldn't do it any justice if I'm over here talking about this is a fight between two glorified B-level fighters, in which I feel like, but at the end of the day, this is boxing, and they are two good fighters who should put on a really good eventful fight when it comes to stylistically the way these two go. But on the 24/7 series, one thing that kind of caught my eye was, you know, Chepo and his son. I forget his son's name, but we know Chepo Reynoso for a while now, because Canelo has been with this guy since he was, you know, a kid. And we see this in boxing. Miguel Cotto had his uncle training him for a while before he had to switch it up from taking some L's. You know, Floyd being with his dad, then going with Roger, then back with his dad. Sometimes fighters, now for Floyd's different, because I think Floyd Sr. is a good trainer. But for Roger, maybe not, even though Roger was one of the most entertaining boxing trainers in the game. He just got out, boxed that motherfucker. Maybe that's what Canelo needs for his fight coming up with Golovkin, because the way they put it simply was, I'm going verbatim here, but they said that Golovkin is pretty much a donkey who just comes forward and throws rocks, when Canelo's the boxer. And they said, to be honest with you, we don't really have much to work on when it comes to preparation for this fight, making it seem like Golovkin's an easy victory when you get your head right, you get your gas tank filled up, and do what you got to do against a guy like Golovkin. Because Golovkin is persistent and he has a good chin, but to rely on a solid chin to win fights, it's not a recipe for great success if you're fighting a really good fighter who, you know, possibly has a chance to knock you out. I don't think Canelo's power is on that level, but, you know, there's always a possibility that Canelo can put a good hit on somebody. He's, I think, one of the things I like about Canelo is the body work that he does at times, because he puts some pretty good meat hooks in there. Now, they've looked really good against guys like Liam Smith, who I guess you could give a little more credit to now after his dog fight that he had with young bull Jaime Munguia, for hanging in there as long as he could. I mean, tough customer, tough customer. He also mentioned that Jaime Munguia, you know, did not punch as hard as Canelo, when a lot of people are thinking Jaime Munguia is one of his devastating punchers right now in a division that he's a little too big for, to be honest with you. But that's neither here nor there. I like Canelo's body work that he does, and I think maybe he should try to open up Golovkin a little more, because, as we all know, Willa was in the building. Seattle Sign won't stop mentioning it when you talk about Golovkin and the fact that Danny Jacobs barbecued his ribs that night. I mean, if I seen Danny Jacobs do that kind of work to his body, if I'm Canelo and you throw meat hooks anyways, you might as well just chop that motherfucker down. But the thing about body shots is, when you go to the body, you're always susceptible for a punch on the top. Maybe Canelo knows that and doesn't want to take that kind of a risk. But, you know, it's getting a little personal. I don't know if it's real personal or this is better stage personal for this fight, but it seems like the respect factor is thrown out the window by both sides. Before Canelo had got suspended for clenbuterol, he was on Instagram putting on his story, you know, "I'm going to knock you out, bitch," in English. There was none of that the first time. None of that the first go around. You know, Golovkin says they're not friends no more. No new friends for Gennady Golovkin. But, you know, I like this a lot more than them two playing Rock'em Sock'em Robots with Max Kellerman, where you had Mayweather McGregor happening 2 weeks before, talking all kinds of shit, making waves, and then you had Golovkin Canelo playing Rock'em Sock'em Robots like some boring fucking private school event that was going on or something like that. So, Willa, I want to take it to you and ask you first if you've seen the 24/7 episode that came out, and what are your comments on these things that were said by Chepo and his son? Because it seems like, I mean, I take it as this is not much of a challenge for us to get a win in this rematch. This is going to be, we just got to box him, and you know, we're gonna take advantage of a fighter like Golovkin, who really doesn't have much to offer other than coming forward and letting them dogs go, so to speak.
Well, I didn't watch the whole thing. I might have watched the first 10 minutes of it, so I just saw them talking shit about each other and just saying how personal it really was, how they didn't like each other, and how, you know, Triple G was, you know, saying that if you're down with Canelo, you're a swindler and all this stuff. So, you know, I did see that, but then I didn't watch the whole thing, so I didn't hear the comments you're talking about. But as far as the build up, they're doing a good job, like you said. That 24/7, it gets you hype, it gets you wanting to do the fight. So it's watch the fight. So it's doing a good job as what it's supposed to be doing. Yeah, man. I don't really know what to say.
Crazy.
I think that Canelo does look very confident, but Triple G looks pissed off. So I think this is going to be a good fight. I think it's going to be a real good fight.
Well, I don't know where you plan on watching it, but we could just kind of transition to the topic that I had after this for the same fight. I almost lost my shit when I seen a post on Twitter saying that Golden Boy Promotions was going to charge $84.99 for this fight. Now, if you didn't think that Golovkin was cashing out, or if someone was cashing out before, you might think so now with the pay-per-view of that cost. Now, Oscar De La Hoya has been on record saying this is the biggest rematch in history and this is the fight of the year and all that. Even though even though I'd argue that Oscar Valdez, Scott Quigg, Deontay Wilder, Luis Ortiz was the best fights of the year up to this point. But yeah, I mean, I guess by the popularity of both fighters, this is the most popular fight of the year. You know, you can say that, I guess. Going to tell us that this is the best rematch ever and this is the fight of the year and blah, 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 blah. 84.99. Now, it might affect what I do for that night because I might want to go to my partner's house and watch it on the, you know, on the projector, the big screen, whatever. But if I just chill here at the house and watch it, it doesn't bother me that much. I'll probably pay like $30 for the pay-per-view, but because of the deal I got. But I'm thinking about it, and I always try to look at it from the outside perspective, Willa. Like when I talk about DAZN, ESPN Plus, and all that other stuff, because we do have that special app where we don't have to pay anything to watch these events. But I just look at it from the listener's standpoint, who people who don't have this deal like we have, this hookup that we have, and for them, $84.99 for Golovkin Canelo rematch. Now, I'm pretty sure that's official. I would put a 99.7% stamp on it being official that it will be $84.99 because of the link and handle that I've seen from was a credible source. But $84.99 for this fight coming up, Willa, is that too damn high or just about right for the rematch? The fight of the year, I guess you could call it.
Man, you know, I want to say it's too high. It's not like I'm not going to pay it and watch it. So, yeah, it is too high. I think they're trying to get us, but this is a fight that they can't get us on, so they're taking advantage of it. So they're going to make a lot of money. So I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it, but yeah. When I saw, I think you texted that to me, I was like, God damn, that's a lot of money. But how much was the, what was the Pacquiao Mayweather?
$100, yeah. Man. I mean.
Yeah, that was $100. And I think I paid more than that to watch it on the screen at the fight. I mean, in Las Vegas. Watch it on the screen somewhere else. So I think I paid more than that to watch that fight. So, you know, 89,
oh, yeah.
You know, it ain't that bad. You know, this is a fight where you can tell your partners, everybody bring 10, and hopefully 10 people pop up. That's $100. You done made 10. So it'll be all right.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That could always work, you know, if you have a bigger house and, you know, you could – lower that down to $5 per head or something like that. And, you know, you'll get that money. But, you know, I mean, if you look at it, like, from the standpoint of the Mayweather-Pacquiao that it happened, like, it's only $15 more than $84.99, but it's, you know, it's a lot more conveniently so from the regularly, you know, I think $65, I believe it goes for, off regular. But, man, I just don't like how Oscar wants to put it to $84.99 when last year when the fight happened, he said, I'm not going to rip the boxing fans off. Floyd and McGregor's a joke for $100. I'm going to do it the regular price, $54.99 for the people. Now you want to boost it up to $84.99? Like, I don't know, man. Just a little bit of, you know, which side of his mouth is he talking out of? Because, you know, we know Oscar, he likes to go both ways. I'm sure he's going both ways, but $84.99, it would leave a bad taste in my mouth. But I mean, I guess if we haven't had that marquee fight of the year and this is the fight of the year, you could put that on there and use that and things of that nature. But I mean, I just think that even with that said, the way the first fight got canceled and boxing, you know, we had a fight for Cinco de Mayo this year, but I don't really count it as a fight for Cinco de Mayo because Bonas Matarotsen got out there in two rounds against Golovkin, but it didn't seem like we had that. I don't know. It's 2018 just can't hold a candle to 2017 in boxing. 2017 was, I mean, a huge year in boxing, starting off with Garcia Thurman. And, I mean, you know, you had so much good fights throughout the year. And, you know, finally got Canelo Golovkin. You had the circus event of Mayweather and McGregor. And just so many big fights that had happened last year. But this year has been a little bit of a downer. So, you know, I mean, fuck, even towards the end of the year, Lomachenko, Rigondeaux, just a lot of fights that happened that we didn't think we'd get. And then 2018 has been really slow. So with the whole narrative of this being the fight of the year, that's why it's 84-99. I argue that it should be a little bit less because you left us hanging, Oscar, by the pay-per-view that should have been for Cinco de Mayo. You left the fans hanging, man. People were wondering, what the fuck are we going to do? Are we going to get a fight? You know what I mean? Because you had Billy Joe Saunders talking about he'll fight Golovkin, but just not on the Cinco de Mayo date a month later. And it's like, you know, what are you going to do? So I just look at it that way. Like, you know, maybe they should have probably left it the same, if not give us a discount on the fight, because, you know, we left us hanging earlier in the year. And as two YouTubers have proven, you don't need to set a high price for pay-per-view to get people coming in. You know what I mean? Imagine if he would have said, you know what, we'll do this fight for $40. Just do the math. How many more people would rather pay $40 than $84? Sure, there's going to be a lot of people that pay for $84.99, but at the same time, it's a lot of money for some other people. So, you know, we'll see how this whole event goes down. I think it makes it more interesting now for what numbers are going to be done for the fight, because I thought that this fight would easily do over 1.5, possibly 2 million at the most, something like that, being the over-under. But now I'm questioning if this fight even does a million views now because of or a million pay-per-view buys now because of this new number. So, Willa, if you had a yes or no, does this fight do over a million now? The new price range being $84.99.
Do you know how many it did last time?
I think last time it did like 1.4. I think it did 1.4 last time. But, you know, numbers be a little misleading at times because there's like 1.4, 1.7. You know, Oscar said over 2 million. So, you know, the numbers were a little swindled for sure. But it was over a million for sure last time.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it'll be. If it was over a million last time, it'll probably. If it was 1.4, they'll probably do 1.1 this time, 1 million. I think they'll still do a million views. You know, this is a big fight. This is two of the biggest names in boxing. Canelo is going to get you 800,000 off the bat. So all Triple G has to do is get you 400. So I think he'll probably do that. Maybe. So, but yeah. I think they'll do a million. Even with 80, what'd you say, 84? 84.99. Even with that, they'll definitely do a million. People are going to pay. The people that are going to pay last time are going to pay this time. Another 15.
Yeah, they do that. If they do a million per se, and the number is $84.99, $85, you're looking at a profit of $85 million. For Golden Boy Promotion. So let's see how that all trickles down when it comes down, who gets what and all that good stuff. Luckily for Golovkin, he played hardball and it will be getting 45 or 42% now, something like that. I forget what he's getting, but I know he's getting a lot more than he was getting last time. So kudos to him and playing hardball with Oscar De La Hoya and that good stuff. But, you know, we'll just see how it goes. I like to see that fight. I'm really getting up for it, and it just kind of goes down some funny directions for it all. Nonetheless, though, I guess we could. You know what? We'll save Oscar for the end. We'll save Oscar for the end. Sergey Kovalev. Who really thought he was going to sit around and try to pick up another fight before he got back in there with Elder Alvarez? Seems like Sergey Kovalev is exercising his rematch clause. and wants to get it as soon as he possibly can. Now, I know that they're talking about December, but that raises the eyebrow a little bit for me because I thought that you're supposed to have a suspension for 6 months after getting knocked out, like the way he got knocked out, especially. He got knocked out pretty hard. Nonetheless, though, main event, and Kathy Duva mentioned that he wants to invoke his rematch clause and get back in there directly with Elder Alvarez, which probably is a smart thing from a sense that, you know, you want to get your name back out there. You want to possibly get your belt back out there because let's say if he takes two tune-ups, let's say Elder Alvarez loses the title to somebody else, then you never get that get back with Alvarez and you might not ever get that belt back depending on who else mandatories would be for the new champion, if that being the case. Plus, you wouldn't make no money fighting against two warm-up guys. I mean, two tune-up fights do absolutely nothing for Sergey Kovalev at this point in his career. Sad deal is that HBO will not be picking it up, so we'll see what or who will pick this up and what where you can view this thing at. I mean, yeah. It's come to that part of Sergey Kovalev's career from being the boogeyman, the most avoided man, all this that he had for the last couple years to not being picked up by HBO. Kind of a sad story, but hey, that's life in boxing, man. That's the hurt business, and it's never forgiven. So, Willa, your thoughts on this whole debacle with Sergey Kovalev? If you were in his corner, would you advise him to get that rematch clause right away? Or how would you go about it, and what do you think lies ahead for one Sergey Kovalev?
Man, yeah, how the mighty has fallen, man. Looks like he'll probably be on, like, maybe Bounce TV or BET, something like that. So who knows? Who knows where he's going to fight? But
oh, man.
I'm sure many people are telling him not to do it. But as we know, Sergey does what Sergey wants, and you know, he's going out like that, you know, so you got to give him respect on that. He's going to do it his way, even if he goes out. So he's going to probably get knocked out again and be done. And that'll be the end of his reign. Nobody will heal. If he gets knocked out again, he'll go down. He won't go down as one of the top guys. It'll just be another flash in the pan that didn't really do anything, man. So, you know, we'll see what happens, man. But I'm sure his team is telling him not to do it. I would advise him to take some time off and then come back, maybe get another tune-up fight, man. Get your skills right before you, you know, go in there taking shots from a guy that wasn't knocking people out, I don't even think. So, yeah, man.
Yeah, good point.
HBO don't want to see it. They've had enough. So hopefully it gets picked up by maybe Bounce or BET. What's the other one?
Yeah.
Spike? Is it still Spike TV?
Yeah. I don't know if Spike is still around. I don't know if that's still around, but, I mean, it just sucks for Kovalev. I would say, you know, reach out to Eddie Hearn and DAZN, but now he's still under contract for main event. So not much he can do when they don't really do anything for their fighters as it is. You know what I mean? They're not doing a good job of promoting the fighters. So obviously they're not going to go out there and get them a good deal. You know, if Kathy Duba try to contact ESPN or something, they'd be like, get the fuck out of here. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's just, and not only would it be a RIP to the career of Sergey Kovalev, but for Kathy Duba and main event in itself, all she would have would be young Dmitry Bivol and pretty much that fight promotional ran by the woman would seem to be all but done.
Man, you taking a shot there?
I'm just saying, hey, she had a good run, right? You know, maybe release Bivol of his contract, let him go somewhere as a free agent, and, you know, maybe she could just make a cooking show or something on YouTube or something. You know, let's see a Duva's Duplex. I don't know, something like that, where she could do something more suitable for what women normally do instead of trying to run a boxing promotion.
Hey, man. Hey, I'm not sure about all that, man. Hey. That used to be a
gentleman,
man.
Okay, all right. Speaking of which, I know, just real quick, a little side note I wanted to throw out there at you. I seen on my Instagram yesterday, a little comment that you had wrote to one of my comments on one Michaela Mayer. Now, it was the finger pointed up, as in you were saying number one, that was, right? That's what I got from it.
No, it was a look at this guy. Hey, I thought you were out there like, what were you saying? Like, hey, I think you're like, hey, looking beautiful today, something crazy like that. Like, hey,
I said that natural play with a fire emoji, all right?
Hey, that boy.
There was no heart eye emoji. There was no heart.
Instagram.
Like,
taking Instagram shots out here, dog. I was just pointing up, like, hey, whatever. Look at this guy up here.
I thought you were putting number one, like you agreed with me, but okay. Well, everybody point at this guy. Huh? All right. I got it. That was something I was just wondering about yesterday. I was Will is always creeping around on Instagram somewhere. I got to always watch out for this guy, man. I got to keep an eye out for this guy, man. But moving along. Much love for Michaela Mayer. Naturally slaying, as she do. Let's talk about some bullshit real quick as we're moving along with boxing news. Surprise, surprise, Boxing Ego posted on YouTube saying that Dillian White is most likely to be the favorite to face Anthony Joshua. Not Deontay next April, I believe, when they have the I don't know if that one's at the O2. I think it is, but that's where they have the extra seating, in which they kind of insinuated they'd have the extra seating for the big clash with Deontay Wilder. Still hopeful for. Hopefully this is just a little bit of smoke being thrown out there by Eddie Hearn and things like that, because why the fuck would they want to have a rematch with Dillian White when they already sparked Dillian White out in 5 rounds? It might have been 6 when Joshua knocked him out. I mean, I just don't get the UK fan base. Like, you know what I mean? I just don't understand it. I know that they're hardcore boxing fans and they love their boxing and things like this. And maybe it's the American in me, but why? I don't like rematches as it is. When you knock someone out in a rematch, what's the point of the get back? I mean, look at my man Will Marquez after he knocked out Manny Pacquiao. He said he could give me $100 million. I'll never fight him again. The glorification and the solidifying fact that you knocked him out. What more does someone want? It's like the guy that you beat up and just want to fight again when they're going to get beat up again and then want to fight again and get beat up again. And hopefully the 97th time that they fight you again, that they might get over one time. I just don't understand this, man. You fucking... You know, you English muffin eating teacup sipping faggot in the UK. What is wrong with y'all, man? Why do you want to see this nonsense? Get over this shit. It's all, you know what it is, Will? I'm just going to say it straight up for what it is. What it is this. It's their way of accepting not facing Deontay Wilder. Just fucking put it out there for what it is, because that's exactly what it is. Oh, it'd be a great rematch. They had a great... No, you just don't want to fight Deontay Wilder. And after Deontay Wilder gets in the ring with one Tyson Fury, you know who else wouldn't be a pussy to get in the ring with him again? Luis Ortiz, because at least Ortiz did get knocked out, but he had Wilder in deep water in that fight. And it was probably my vote for fight of the year. If not that, Scott Quigley and Oscar Valdez. Those are my two fights of the year right now. Other than that, this is just a complete sway move by Joshua, maybe hoping for Wilder to get old overnight, but it's not going to happen for another 4 years. because Deontay Wilder is in really good shape. But this is just a joke, man. This is just a joke. I like Eddie Hearn sometimes, and sometimes I'm just like, fuck Eddie Hearn. I wouldn't give him the sweat off my ass if he was dying of thirst. I got no love for Eddie Hearn and some of these business decisions that he makes at times. I know he claims to be for the boxing fans and all this nonsense, but when it comes down to it, I wish we could give the motherfucker truth serum and put him on a lie detector test and ask him questions about the Wilder fight with AJ, because I guarantee you if you ask him if you want to make a fight with Deontay Wilder under the truth serum and lie detector test, that shit would probably blow up and he'd start spewing out the mouth why they don't want to fight Deontay Wilder. I don't care. I would love to hear some of the UK fans and AJ protectors try to tell me otherwise. But this whole this whole idea of fighting Dillian White again is just the UK pussies stay away from Deontay Wilder. There's no reason for this rematch to happen. Or am I just out of left field, completely wrong on this one? Willa, how do you feel about this whole idea of rematching Dillian White with Anthony Joshua?
Well, I think Wilder has had enough with Anthony Joshua and this BS that's been going on, him and Eddie Hearn. I think the guys came out and said that they would not fight Joshua. They would fight him. They wouldn't wait till April to fight him, or they wouldn't fight him in April or something like that, which I think is when Joshua's trying to fight. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I think that's what's going on. So they're trying to find different ways to try to pull out this fight because they know that once he gets KO'd, it's over. You know, everybody's sick of it, and it is right that people should be sick of it, but at the end of the day, you know, this is the cash cow. If they're making $20 million, they're not in any rush to fight Wilder. Any rush. If they're making $20 million, no matter if they can make $60 million, like Eddie Hearns has come out and said something like he thinks the fight would be an $80 million fight or something like that. So, you know, they're making he could have made $40, $50 million last time. They know that. But if they could fight people for $20, $25 million, they'll do that for as long as they can because they know after this Wilder fight, it could be all over. So it doesn't surprise me that there's talks like that going around. But, you know, it is what it is when it's coming to all this money that could be made. So are they hoes? Yes. Are they scared? Yes. But they do make a whole bunch of money. And that's what, you know, that's what it's all about at the end of the day. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully they fight. I think a lot of pressure's on Joshua. I think if you're a grown man, you can only take so much before you say, fuck it, we got to get it on. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
No, definitely. I agree with you on the fact that they could make money, steal money from the Russians with Povetkin and all this stuff. You know, at the end of the day, Anthony Joshua might be playing chess while the rest of these guys are playing checkers. You know what I mean? So not to go completely throwing shade at him and turn the cheek to the other side of the fact, but, you know, it's just frustrating for us boxing fans when you want to see such a fight where right now is the perfect time for this fight. And, you know, hey, that's boxing, man. That's boxing. We just got to deal with it sometimes. It makes all the more when two fighters say, fuck it, let's sign the dotted line and make this shit happen, instead of Dana White being like, all right, you're going to fight this guy, bro, and you're going to make $2,000. I'm going to pay you $1,000 right now. I'll pay you the other two later. And you know what I mean? So it seems like more of a manly decision when two fighters say, let's do this, instead of when someone tells, you know, two guys to do this. In the heavyweight division, staying with it, my guy, Tyson the Don, Gypsy King Fury, came out and put out Dan Rayfield's fat ass for his comments about Tyson Fury questioning the fact of him actually getting in the ring with Deontay Wilder. Now, went out and you know, questioned Dan Rayfield on Twitter saying, who told you that if you have such credible sources, being that he was second-guessing himself against Deontay Wilder. Now, Dan Rayfield, for those who don't know, was, I think, middle of last year, maybe a little bit later than the middle of last year, got caught on Twitter liking some 4K high-definition porn in which he liked. Because back in the Twitter days, 2 years ago per se, you could like something and it wouldn't be put on someone's timeline who follows you showing things you like. You only would show you things that you retweet. So you could retweet stuff and that would be shown for everybody. And if you like stuff, that would kind of be on the under. No one really know what you like, just what you retweet. But now it shows what you like and what you retweet. And Dan Rayfield, old Dan, old fucking donut finger Dan, got caught liking a porn site at 9:15 in the morning, need I mind you, which he was on the clock for ESPN at work. Must be nice to be at work and get your fancy tickled, I guess. But that's neither here nor there. Just want to put that out there for Dan Rayfield. He's the one who came out and said that this wasn't going to happen, or was Tyson Fury was second-guessing himself. But Tyson Fury confirmed it's on like Donkey Kong, because that's how real men do it. Says that he put his pen to the pad, that he signed his end of the contract, and now it's up to Wilder to sign his end of the contract. Probably just waiting for the official date and venue and things like that, just stringing out the rest of that stuff. I don't think it's any sort of need to go over the contract negotiations and things like that, because Deontay Wilder is the A-side in this fight and will be without him and dictating everything that goes along with this fight as far as venue and all that stuff. Tyson Fury has no problem with coming to the U.S. and fighting Deontay Wilder, in which I thought that Deontay Wilder should go to the U.K. and fight him over there. But the Gypsy King pressed the issue, saying that he'd come to America and beat Deontay Wilder, just like he's done Klitschko in Germany. So no need to fear, boxing fans, for another fighter from the U.K. who is staying away, whose name rhymes with A. Gay. You got the Don, Tyson Fury, saying, it's on like Donkey Kong. He will be in the ring with Deontay Wilder this year, and you could bank on that. Now, well, I was excited when I seen this, because when you had first told me about Dan Rayfield's report saying that he was second-guessing himself, I was like, oh, God. This is why Deontay needs to fight Fury immediately, because you never know when Fury's going to go on his Tyson Montana and would not be available for a fight. So I was real relieved when I seen this happen, when I seen Tyson Fury come out and say that this fight was happening, Willa. I'm sure the same could be said for yourself, right?
Yeah, I was glad that it came out, that he came out and said it. Hopefully they'll set the time and the date this week. I think that's what they were saying, but we've heard next week for a while. But we know that they have a place already, because Deontay Wilder almost said it after the Fury fight. So hopefully they get it done, get everything ironed out, which I'm pretty sure they will. And we'll be able to see another huge fight, you know, to end the year off. So we got your boy about to fight. We got the fight next week. And then we got the heavyweight fight to end the year.
Oh, yeah.
I think that, you know, that's a good way to end the year. The Andrade,
yeah, sure.
Under fight coming up.
Yeah.
Some pretty good fights.
Yeah, those guys been having a lot of fun in the press conference. Andrade, how it's pronounced, and Saunders. But you're going to have your hands full on Wednesday, because you got the preview show coming up for which will probably be the best fight in the welterweight division this year, and Danny Garcia and Sean Porter. So a whole lot going on this weekend coming up. But before we wrap up out of here, just want to touch on one little topic real quick. Your guy, Oscar De La Hoya, the guy you you've claimed to be the GOAT of Mexican boxing, Oscar De La Hoya. You know, I'm not one of those guys, when I see fighters, I'll ask them a quick hot take on boxing. I'm more of the talk about anything else besides boxing to get them to open up, because I'm pretty sure they're tired of talking about boxing and when it comes to the same questions that they heard and just reiterating an answer that they've answered a million times already. But when it comes to Oscar De La Hoya, I bring up some old shit just like some normal people do or regular people do on the regular to Oscar De La Hoya. Brought to his attention by a reporter who said Shane Mosley thought that if Oscar De La Hoya was in his prime, he would beat Floyd Mayweather when they had fought. And that's a fight that Oscar De La Hoya, you know, he just can never let go. He just can't get over it. Thinks he won. Thinks he set the blueprint for Floyd Mayweather. All that. But he said that if he was in his prime, he would have knocked out Floyd Mayweather. No question. When I fought Floyd, it's no secret, I was over the hill. I was a shadow of myself. But if he was in his prime, he would knock out Floyd Mayweather. Well, yo man is bugging. He can't let it go. But, I mean, if we're to think about it hypothetically, if Oscar De La Hoya was in his prime, does he stop Pretty Boy Floyd? Or is Oscar just the bitterness in him not being able to let go of the fact that he cannot hold that L to Floyd Mayweather?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. If he was 5 years younger, would he be that much bigger than Floyd? You know, it's a lot of tangibles that go with, you know, being in their prime. What does that mean? If he was that big and was fighting like he was when he was 28 at that point, you know what I'm saying? You know, yeah, well, no, a little younger than that, younger than the fishnets, but around then, you know, when he was at his boxing prime, he wasn't that big. So would he have beat the bigger Mayweather? You know, it just depends on what you're talking about. So, hey, I feel him. Like what he did, you know, he gave Floyd an all right fight. You know, he lost, but he gave him an all right fight. So he feels that if he had enough win to do that the whole time, he may could have did it and then, you know, just bullied him around and beat him up and all that. But he wouldn't have been that big if he was younger. So I don't know. I don't know if that works out for him, but I know that hurt him deep. You know, now this guy gets to talk all this shit forever. And that's what happens in boxing, man. You know, this is a game where when you fight, you fight. So it doesn't matter if you're in your prime or if you're not. He's one up on you. And it does, you know, all that, it doesn't matter. Y'all fought. So,
yeah.
Hate to say it,
yeah.
Man.
Sounds like you're buying into it. Yeah, sounds like you're buying into it a little bit.
I mean, he was just bigger, you know, so it just all depends. Like, if he's saying, you know, there's ways that he could have won if everything lines up correctly, you know, at that point in time, if he was in perfect shape where he can just throw and try to bully Floyd around 12 rounds, he might have a better chance. He might have beat him, but, you know, in his prime, he wasn't that big, so he couldn't really do that. You know, it wasn't the same Oscar De La Hoya, like he said. So, I don't know. If they were just prime for prime, I don't think he'd beat Floyd Mayweather. But it'll be a good fight. He's still my guy. I don't think he's the best ever. He's just the king.
Yeah, lay off the cocaine, Oscar. Just let it go. Hold your L.
Yeah, he just needs to let it go.
Nonsense.
Yeah, they fought, man. Once you fight, it is what it is. You know, if I was younger, if I was that, it don't matter. You got beat up.
Yeah, it's just that old, it's that bitter veteran, you know, type of thing. I'm sure, I mean, you know, I'm not so sure you hear a lot of Atlanta Falcons defensive players saying, oh, if we did this different, Tom Brady would have never came back on a 28-3 with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter in the Super Bowl. Yeah, for the most part, I'm not going to single out Austin because I know there's fighters who think a lot of fighters that actually have the same type of feeling when it comes to, you know, holding the L. It just can't take sometimes. But it seems like Oscar's been talking this shit about Floyd Mayweather. I mean, when did that fight happen? Like in 2006, maybe 2007, something like that. I mean, it's arguable that he's been talking about this shit for 10 years now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, now, okay, I'm not gonna be all the way hypocritical because I got, as I was talking about how hype I was for the Miami game this week. One of my partners is an Ohio State fan, and I'll never let him forget that was a bullshit pass interference call in 2003 of the Fiesta Bowl in a national championship game where Miami got screwed over by one of the worst calls in officiating history, and that's damn near 18 years ago, almost 20 years ago. But I'll never let it go, so I guess maybe I shouldn't be so harsh on Oscar De La Hoya when I'm doing the same thing.
I mean, you shouldn't be, man. I think you and De La Hoya live a life that's probably very similar. If we pull back the curtain, that's probably some fishnets back there somewhere.
I ain't got no fishnets. I ain't doing nothing like De La Hoya's wild ass.
Some kind of netting probably back there, though. Hey, but hey, like I say, man, do your thing, though. Freaks are freaks. And then ladies, you know. We out there experiencing.
That's when you know it's time to wrap up the show, folks. I'm getting ready to I'm about to hop in the shower, get all cleansed up and get ready for this football starting up, probably barbecue or something. It's still kind of hot out right now. About 90 degrees over here, so I might just hop in the pool and, you know, see what's good over here. But what you got planned for the rest of the Sunday before we get out of here, man? And, I mean, we got two games today. I think the Miami-LSU game, and then you got Florida State and the Virginia Tech, I think. So, yeah, might be some good action coming up for the rest of the day. I know the first game, the Miami game, it won't be entertaining for everybody else because it's going to be a blowout. So, you know, which would be a good game, though.
Yeah. I don't know. I think probably, you know, head to my parents' house and chill, relax for the holiday, celebrate the holiday, and just chill, man.
Yep.
Nothing much. We got a rain delay out here, a lot of rain, so everybody's just chilling.
Damn. Must be nice. I'm not a fan of the rain, but I haven't seen the rain for a while. I wouldn't be mad at it, but... Anyways, like I said, folks, we're going to wrap this one up and get out of here. Make sure y'all come and join us on Wednesday because it'll be a big preview show that Willow will have for the welterweight fight of the year with Danny Garcia and Showtime Sean Porter. So it should be interesting when it comes to face-offs and weigh-ins. And not only that, but some of the comments that Angel Garcia has been making about Sean Porter and PED use and things like that. We'll bring it all up on Wednesday's show, and that will be at 7 o'clock Pacific time, 9 p.m. Central. But up until then, I'm RC from Central California. This was Willa from Houston, Texas. We are the Outsiders Boxing Podcast, and we'll be back to y'all sooner rather than later. But as of right now, it's football time, and we out.
Mom, I love you. P.O.P. all the time.